This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Very well. Very well. You?
Yeah, good. Good morning.
Do you know what I did?
What?
Played a round of golf.
Did you?
First ever.
I used to work on a golf course.
Oh yeah, of course you did. You told us that on Happy Hour, yeah.
What, you did 18 holes?
Oh, I did 9.
Yeah, it's tiring, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when you can't hit it.
Oh, okay, now.
Hello, all. Hello.
Here hello, John.
How are we?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, not bad.
You look very cool.
Yeah, I haven't washed my hair today yet, so.
Neither have I. I look
terrible. Tell me about it. I haven't washed anything.
Neither.
Anything? Your hands?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah, I washed my hands after
I haven't washed my body for last Wednesday.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, I have.
And you've washed your hands today because you've gone for a number twos.
No, I'm an evening number two, man, if I'm on schedule.
On schedule?
You don't have to schedule your bowel movements, do you?
Let's not go into that topic because you'd be surprised.
I really want to go into it, but I feel like it could be a whole pod.
If you speak to any of my family members, they'll tell you they are sick of me talking about my bowel movements. Mine are so bad, like genuinely terrible.
What do you mean terrible? What comes out?
Just the irregularity.
Well, so you might have to wait a week.
Yeah, when I went on a ski trip to Bulgaria last February, I didn't go the whole time I was there. I was there a week. No, 8 days I was. I didn't go for a poo.
Was that? Are you nervous?
No,
didn't need to go.
No, I don't know. I just didn't go. Like my body didn't need to go. I guess it was weird. And then I could do like 5 in a day.
Show off.
Wow.
No, but I have no gallbladder, so like my body works like
what?
Oh yeah, of course you don't. That was
got no gallbladder.
That was on my list of surprising things about John.
Yeah, I've got a big scar across my stomach.
Really?
Looks really cool. You look like a sort of like, you know, when in like Viking movies and they take their top off and they're covered in battle scars. That was you.
Yeah, kind of looks sexy. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was a joke. But yeah. So, because of that, the food that I process, if I have anything, like, melted cheese is a big killer. I try to avoid, like, real melted cheese. I could have, like, vegan melted cheese, but that just doesn't hit the same. Like, burgers, like, all red meats, I have to really avoid.
If you have been to the toilet for a week, what does your bum feel like?
Fine. No, it's not that I don't... Like, it's not that...
Welcome to my new football club, by the way.
You're not, like, constipated. It's just, like...
He's frozen.
It's weird.
Oh, you're frozen. Oh, I didn't see this coming. I never see any of this coming.
Why have we never asked him about his poos before?
I fucking hate that word. I hate that word.
Who?
I hate it.
What about
I hate it?
It
so much.
Go on.
I think it just reminds me of how disgusting we all are.
Yeah. What would you rather say?
I'd just rather no one did it.
Yeah. I sometimes wish
we all
that.
Poo.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Yeah.
I hate it so much.
Why?
Because it's disgusting. Because I trick myself into thinking there's more to us.
I find that's how, it's not just necessarily poo, but I find it's how I humanise everybody. Like, we all pee, poo.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. I just don't like it. I'd rather we didn't have bums.
Yeah, I wonder if we really push comes to shove, whether we'd all rather we didn't have bums.
I hate that you have to push food into his head every day.
Why can't we have a pill that just keeps us all fed and no poos?
I hate it. Henry Widdicombe's on today to talk about Plymouth. Hey. Henry, I was just saying that I hate that we have bums.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Just use my bum.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was it?
Show off.
Pretty good, actually. Thanks for
asking. I hate it.
That's all right.
Why'd you hate it?
I think it's disgusting. I think it's so disgusting. And I just wish we just had legs that just went into, I don't know, a
top.
You
do love a leg.
I do. I just wish there was no hole there. It was just legs.
How are you getting rid of your waste? Through the pores?
Oh, I hate that. I hate that you have to put stuff in your face as well.
Not an orifice guy.
Not for me.
What are you like with weeing? Do you wish you didn't have to wee?
I don't mind that. I love it.
Oh, no. Imagine not having to wee. You'd never have to go to a toilet on a night out. It'd be unreal.
Yeah, I don't mind wee.
What are, not to turn it straight to football, what are Exeter's toilets like?
The ones I use are just sort of, they're like this, it's just breeze block with urinals. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, you're right with that, John?
Yeah.
Out the back of the Mayflower used to be, I don't know, it can't still be this. It was just like you said, like a breeze block building, but like just a gully, essentially. Everyone just pissing into like a, what's it called on the side of the house? It collects the rain?
Garage?
Collects the rain.
Gutter.
Yeah. Just pissing into a gutter.
Someone at Exeter's got to think about all the people that come every Saturday doing all their business into the toilets.
It's my dream. Be in charge of a public toilet in the middle of nowhere, by a beach. Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You can pull that off, can you?
I think so. Not much.
That's your dream.
Yeah. Well, I've built this business, which is so stressful, and now all I want to do is have a toilet block in a West Wales town. No one visits.
Ooh. Ashley, what happens with the toilets at your comedy festival, Henry?
Hire people. Hire. Oh, do you know a funny story though? So many people come to the town and use the toilets in the town hall that the water pressure in the whole town drops so that like the toilets won't refill that well because the water pressure's gone down so much.
Because of your festival?
Yeah.
We found out today John is incredibly irregular with his bowel movements.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Worrying.
From nothing for a month to 8 in 10 minutes, yeah.
What? Are you eating enough?
No, not for a month. Come on, let's not take the mic. Nothing for a week maximum.
Right.
Change to seeded multigrain bread, John. That was...
Yeah, but see, this is the problem. Multigrain bread goes straight through and has the opposite effect. I don't want to be pooing fire. I'd rather poo once a week. I
hate that word.
What can we say instead of poo that's going to make you happy?
Seeded.
Seeded.
Soiled.
Soil.
Yeah. So what are the toilets like at Plymouth now, Henry? Are they worth chatting about on a pod?
Do you know, they're just your standard, like, I don't actually get to home park that much. I get to away grounds more.
Yeah.
And but I've got a feeling they're just your standard in the sort of where you go in for the tickets, just your standard breeze block.
By the ticket booth?
Well, you go through the turnstiles into that concoursey bit, right?
Right.
And then you've got your teas and coffees and your breeze block. I can't even picture them, to be honest.
I think every football ground's the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it just like breeze block, like a little breeze block extension on the end of a stand that has a trough and four cubicles?
I bet Tottenham's isn't.
Oh, but that's
lovely. They come and take it from your seat.
Yeah. A man in with a little bottle.
Cool.
Just unzips you. Lovely.
Oh.
Is that what you're aiming for?
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe not. How are Plymouth doing, Henry?
Well, we're a bunch of winners right now, aren't we? All of us?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, but you beat Sutton, didn't you?
2-0. Smashed them. 3-1. But apparently we weren't that great. But, yeah. It's been tricky. It's been a tricky few weeks. Don't get me wrong. Lost our manager, which was always going to happen at some point. But...
did you think it was going to happen in the middle of the season?
No. I really didn't think. I was still surprised. It's like one of those where you just go, well, he's definitely going to go somewhere. I think the real kick in the jaffers is that he went to Stoke, you know. It just feels like, Stoke? Really? Like,
God, they're below you.
I think we're on the same points now.
Oh, yeah.
But they've got tons of money, so... At the same time, you just go, he's probably been offered a lot of money. Like, he's what? He's like our age, maybe even younger than us, David.
Is he?
Yeah, and it's like, you just got to think, oh, well, I might get sorted for the rest of my life by taking this job. And you just go...
What would he have been offered? Just out of interest.
I don't know. John, do you reckon it would be up towards £1 million a year?
What?
I don't think so.
It's a big club.
I'd say it's probably closer to £500,000 a year.
Yeah.
Than £1 million.
So I mean, it's you can't stop someone do it. We'd all do it, you know.
Well, I bet his wage was significantly lower at Plymouth, and that's not a dig in any way. I just think Stoke do. I mean, they're owned by Bet365, so
We all felt gutted and let down, and we still feel gutted, but like, you can't, we are what we are. And it just feels like the early 2000s again, when we had Holloway, we had this amazing team, we were eighth in the championship, and then it all just got dismantled. And it just, it feels like, oh my God, we lost Schumacher. Oh, Azaz has just been recalled and is going to Borough. Gillespie's off. Kundal's just gone and is going to Stoke. And it's like, you just go, oh my God, we're Plymouth and we're just picked off as always. But
beautiful.
But yeah. But this time you go, we've got Doosnip and Hallett, and I just trust them more than I've ever trust any. Like, Hallett is the chairman, Doosnip is the director of football, and they don't put a foot wrong. And like, they've got this manager now, Ian Foster. None of us had heard of him. And it's just like, and you look at his background and you go, oh, fuck yeah, that's exactly the same mold as the last two managers we've had. He's going to have loads of contacts. He's well regarded. He's young. He's ambitious. He's going to play the football that Doosnip wants us to play. And I think what I've realised over the last month, because Doosnip actually stepped in with Nankerville to manage the last month. And what I realised was perhaps Doosnip's got way more influence in this club than I'd even imagined. Like, perhaps he's really influencing the way we play. Like, when we played Cardiff away, I went down for it, and we played better away at Cardiff than I've seen us play away all season. Like, we hadn't won all season away, and we didn't win against Cardiff, we drew, but like, we controlled that game in a way that I've not seen us control an away game this season. And it was like, and that's without Schumacher. That's like, it wasn't that much of a tweak. But I was talking to my brother about it. It might just be like that Cardiff didn't press us like other teams have, and that's why we controlled the game. Plymouth really come a cropper when we get a press. We just can't handle a better team pressing us, basically.
Right.
But if a team allows us to control a game, we've got skill, so much skill to, like, yeah. I'm worried about these players leaving, but there's a depth in our squad that we've never had before. We are going out into the market. Apparently, we're after Oxford's captain, Elliot, someone. I don't know them, but
do you know him, John? Do you know him, John?
No, there is a few good players. Oxford definitely good enough to play in the Championship, like Cameron Brannigan and players like that. They've got some real good players, but I'm not familiar with an Elliot.
Well, apparently he's the captain, so hopefully he's half decent. And
what about your star man? Do you think he'll leave?
Yeah.
Is it Morgan?
Yeah.
He'll leave this January.
I'm slightly worried that he will go this January, but you've got to imagine, like, am I a moron for thinking that it might be 10 mil?
No, I think you're spot on. If he's got a 4-year deal, it'll be something like that. Because there was people talking about it being 4 mil and people are like, it's ridiculous. He's got a 4-year contract. He's your record ever transfer fee. He's one of the top contributors goals and assist-wise in the Championship. He's worth...
He's incredible.
If Plymouth got 10 million for him, what happens then? What will the club do with it?
Well, I imagine... So Hallett is... He's all about sustainability. So like my dad was going, let's go for this manager, let's go for that manager. It's like, nah, he's never going to do that. So Azaz has gone to Borough for like 2.5, I think, and Kundal's going to Stoke for 1.5. And my dad's like, why can't Hallett just drop that money on these players? And he's like, well, he's not about that. He's not about huge Premier League wages in the Championship. He's not about just dropping money. He's all about sustainability. And so that's the price you pay, right? We had these players on loan. We can't afford to have them as a club if we want to be sustainable. He's not the kind of guy that's just going to drop money on a gamble. And like, so I think if 10 million came in, I wouldn't be surprised if only 2 million of that went on some very wise transfers, you know, and then the rest goes into all sorts of things they're doing at the club around training grounds, building like improvements around all sorts of things that we don't even see as fans, you know. And I think that's just, I know I talked about it last time I was on, but like that's something we've never had at Argyle, is that stability and that business mind and just trusting that every decision they're making is the right decision. Like, and yeah, I'd love to have had Azaz. Azaz was an incredible player. Like, if he doesn't end up in the Premier League as... Do you know, when I went to Leeds away just before Christmas, and you saw, like, I saw... Who's that young Welsh one? Dan?
James.
Yeah, Man United.
Yeah. So now he's at Leeds, and you see him, and you just go, all right, that's the difference.
Does he look good?
He's incredible. He's
ordinary at United.
And like, you see him play and you go, oh, right, that's a Premier League player. And you understand the gulf between your club and those players. And sometimes you get someone like Azaz or Whittaker and you go, you could be a Premier League player. But I'm not even looking at them and going, you could be a Dan James. I'm going like, you could probably be okay at Luton. Or like you'd sort of be on the fringes at Brentford. Like it's that kind of thing. Because when you see someone like Dan James, you just go, holy, like.
He's that good in the flesh.
Yeah, and he's not even, so imagine what the next level up of like decent Premier League player is. Like he was just incredible to watch. And yeah. Leeds was fun. Leeds was incredible. Like going to somewhere like Leeds, which, it just has such a cachet as a club, doesn't it? Like, they're one of the giants of British football, I would say, even though...
Yeah.
And, like, to be there and see all the names on the stands of, like, they've got a Jack Charlton stand, they've got, like, what's that guy? The statue, Bremner out the front, the statue out the front, and, like... And just to be there, not on a cup game, but to be like, we're in this league with this team,
oh,
and we're playing this team, and... we almost came back and got a draw, and it was incredible.
Imagine that, John. John.
Yeah, that would be lovely. That would be the dream.
Is it ever going to happen?
For us? We've played Leeds in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean every week where you're going to Leeds, Norwich.
Yeah.
Ipswich.
But we've had that.
You've turned the tide. Ah, Josh got me the tickets through the Kevin Nankerville. So I was sat next to Kevin Nankerville's wife and daughter.
Josh did?
Yeah, he's real well connected at the club now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So if anything's ever sold out, I can get Josh to send a little text and get myself tickets.
Is he really?
That's very nice. Yeah.
Are you like that with Ipswich, Alfie?
Hey, are you? They don't reply to my texts, but I have the numbers. Still counts.
This is, sorry, I just had a thought, but Alfie knows Fabrizio Romano.
No, I don't.
Oh, I thought you did.
No.
Oh.
I said I know someone that has met him.
Oh, I thought you knew him. Okay.
God, no.
I love it. No, I'm telling everyone that you know him.
Well, you can. I don't mind you spreading that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've... John's waiting to come out. I think we've turned the corner.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
It definitely feels like it.
Yeah.
But the tide's changed.
We've turned the corner, haven't we, John?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so for Gary's sake.
It's been really spicy the last couple of months, hasn't it?
I cannot believe he's still there. That is great.
Isn't it?
Great chairmanship to hold on and hold your nerve.
I love it.
Yeah.
What's he?
I don't know. I feel like, was that a little bit sarcastic? I don't know.
No, it's not. I honestly think like there's stats and that out there where it's like, it never works to change your manager. It never, like... I think the stats show that like you have a bounce and then often it's worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
So like these clubs that are constantly changing their manager, they're not winning. They're not getting better. And like, I just think that if you believe in someone, like you got like Birmingham getting rid of Rooney. Like, I don't think Rooney's ever going to be that decent a manager, but getting rid of him after 15 games is just a pointless exercise.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's just ridiculous. What is anybody achieving? Like, so I think if you at least back the manager or back the reasons why you got him in the first place, yeah, sticking with him is always going to be, unless it's like dire.
But, I think that's where we're similar, Henry, Plymouth and Exeter, especially in recent history, in the sense that we're bringing in managers for long-term projects. If they choose to stay or go, that's up to them. That's their prerogative. But we are bringing these people in because we believe in the plan that they've told us they're going to put into place. And yeah. I don't know whether Schumacher was ahead or behind schedule, but so long as we stay in the division, I think we're doing okay, personally.
Yeah. And I think I never looked at, how I felt about Exeter last time I came on. I can't stop Googling you now since I've been on the pod. Checking, it's the second result I check every week.
Wait, so if we win, do you go, that's nice?
Yeah, really do.
Yes.
Really do.
Wow.
Bringing people together.
What was lovely is like you lost all of those games, but at no point did you slip into... You were always just outside the danger zone, right? You weren't...
We're in the danger zone Saturday, weren't we?
Yeah. So Saturday was the first time in 16 games without a win or whatever it was that we went into the relegation. So which shows how bad a division is, I think.
Yeah. But you... you didn't win Saturday, did you? But you...
Yeah, we did.
You did. All right, great.
Yeah, yeah. Great. So you like Exeter. You like Exeter and everyone involved.
I like you. I like you too.
Yeah,
and Alfie. And Alfie.
Thank you.
To be fair, Alfie's just an Ipswich fan, though, so you can like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
I've really warmed to it because obviously I listen to the pod now. And so it's like,
not just nice men, nice club, nice women involved in the club.
Yeah. Majority nice people, yeah. Just get some.
Just trying to do their best.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Human beings.
That podcast with your chairman was an absolute dream. Loved it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I loved it.
I love Julian. Superman.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. What did you like about it, Henry?
Well, when he was talking about like the flack he gets and the way he has to like deal with it, and like, but just to be that kind of a human, to like stick by your guns throughout and go, these people hate me, but I know that what I'm doing is for the benefit of all of them, you know, to have that resilience and that sticking power of going, yeah, they're always going to hate me because I'm such an easy target for them. Like, but to just have that love and passion for the project, to disregard that basically and go, well, until one of you guys steps up, this is it, you know?
I mean, I'm desperate for John to step up at some point.
Oh,
honestly, the thought.
Oh my God.
I would that. Fucking love that.
You'd be brilliant as well, John.
No, again, I don't think that's, I don't think I could do that. I'm too emotionally invested.
Yeah, he needs to mature.
Yep, I agree.
A few years maturing, get his degree under his belt.
Mature response.
Yeah.
I'd love to someday be involved, but I just don't think I will ever.
Really? I think you'll change your mind.
I think 100% you will. I have no doubt in my mind that in your 30s, you'll
but yeah, but like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. But it's just, I've seen what it does to people, so I wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah, that's sort of sad that you've had a look behind the curtain and thought.
No, well, like it's literally the last job I'd want to do. I wouldn't want to be involved in football, like at a football club whatsoever. Because you don't get the merits you deserve. Some people are literally working for free or barely anything at our football club, like around the clock, 24/7, doing full-time hours when they're not even full-time.
Yeah.
And they just get shit 24/7, and nothing's ever good enough, so what's the point?
But if you took over, everyone would think the pod dude's doing it.
Yeah.
Exactly, I'd be laughed out the room.
No.
No, you wouldn't.
They know you inside out. They love you.
Yeah, they know my bowel movements. They know.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything.
They treat you like a person.
Exactly.
Yeah. With crippling IBS.
Yes. Yes, crippling IBS.
Yeah.
Also, would you give us a... Could we have a seat at like a table every Saturday?
Do I want to be associated with you guys when I'm 30?
Yeah.
David will be what? Like 80?
Yeah.
No,
80.
Oh, sorry, 79.
Wow.
How old are you, John? 23.
22. Get it right.
22.
Still a kid.
I'll be.
Would you say, dickhead?
In 8 years' time, let's just.
What'd you say, Henry?
Still a kid.
Oh.
I thought you called me a dickhead then as well.
22-year-old dickhead.
Oh.
Yeah, how old will you be in 10 years' time, David, roughly?
60. That's fucking horrendous.
No, it's not. I saw that didn't sink in.
Do you know the guitarist of the Police, Andy Summers, in 7 years will be 90?
Wow.
Sorry, why do the police have a guitarist? I'm not asking it again because I obviously said something stupid. I'm not. No.
Why?
What did you say?
Why would the police need a guitarist?
It's a great joke if you actually knew.
Yeah.
The police is in like the police force.
No, there was a band a long, long time ago, John, before you were born.
Oh, it's one of these things.
You know the police. You know this.
A 22-year-old isn't going to know about the police, David.
Oh, you know the main songs.
Because they've been remixed.
Every breath you take.
By...
What are you
on? Oh, John, you know that song. John, obviously you know that song.
No. Oh, well, not David singing it. No.
Alfie?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on. Yeah.
I just grabbed the guitar.
Come on.
No, absolutely. No, I'm now getting anxiety.
No, I can't do it. Message in a bottle.
There you go.
There we go.
Beautiful.
That was lovely. I still don't know the song, though.
Come on, Alfie. Come on.
John, you know every step you take.
Oh! No, I don't, but that was beautiful.
Every move. You do know that song.
Maybe.
John won't even know the Puff Daddy version.
No.
Oh, yeah. Sean Puffy Coombs.
What is going on?
Do you not know Puff Daddy?
No. God, there's no way.
I was going to say, I thought that would be my link to John Puff Daddy.
This is what I mean.
Puff Daddy.
I am. I'm not very switched on in that regard. I don't really know anything about anything other than football.
John, you're 22 years old. You're not going to know this stuff.
Okay. Well, that's thank you, Henry. Yeah. That makes me feel a little bit better.
So the police was early 80s. So that's say 40 years ago. So when I was 22, when was that? 95, 96, 40. God, we're talking about bands from the early 50s. When I was a fucking hell. That's so depressing.
The 50s feels like...
Do you not know Billy Butler and the Trumpeters?
What? See, I feel like 1999 is like old, like a long... It feels like a long time from even me. Like, born before 2000 just seems mental to me. Like, I don't know anyone other than, like, obviously my parents and my brother.
Yeah, you weren't alive.
I wasn't alive, but I was born in 2001, basically 2002.
Yeah, it's like, for me, that's the 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah, feels like a long time ago.
Yeah, I bet it does. I think 2001 feels like a long time ago, so God knows what the 60s felt like.
Why are you hanging out with kids, David?
What, John? Yeah. There are times when I'll go, fucking hell, what are we doing, John?
Yeah.
Asking about a kid's bum.
No, I'm an adult.
And his mate's Willy.
I'm an adult. Come on. Let's not go down this avenue. We'll have to see it.
Please take over the club one day, John.
Genuinely. If I do, I'll promise you a little seat up by me.
Wow.
Wow, that's...
Pillows,
and Henry, Henry's cushions. Involved in the club. He's fallen in love with the club. He's running the club with you.
No.
No.
I'll have a Google. I'll have John be here on a sort of a news alert.
I keep Googling.
Henry will be giving me stick on Twitter. Or praising me if we're doing badly.
Hey, no, I'm into it. As long as you're in a different league, you're harmless to me.
If we were above you, would you be would we still be harmless? Or would you think, oh, shit?
I would not be taking that very well at all.
Maybe we should get you on when we're above you.
Yeah. We could easily be in the same league, couldn't we, next year?
Yeah.
No, I don't think they're going to go down.
No, they probably won't. Possible. But yeah.
I think more likely we go up.
It's I'd say it's like 15-20% possible that we're in the same league.
I'll take those odds. I will take those odds. All that percentage.
I think it's massively unlikely, but...
I hate the games against them. I hate them.
Yeah, it's massively unlikely because you think you're too good for championship, to get relegated.
Yeah, or... I think we're better than enough teams in the champ. I don't think we're too good for championship.
I think before everyone started pinching all your players.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. It could all go to pot. So Ian Foster could be rubbish, which I don't think he will be. No, we might lose Whitaker. We might not then reinvest. Like, we could get dismantled. It felt very much 2 weeks ago, I was just like, this is it. It's happening again. But now, after getting Foster in and going, yep, that fits with the plan. And like Azaz and Kunda weren't ours. So you can't go like,
yeah,
I can't believe they've been poached. We were lucky to have them, you know? So, and what's to stop us going to get a couple more loan players, you know? So, gotta have faith.
Yeah.
Gotta have faith. But it could go wrong. We're, what, 6-7 points above the drop, I think?
Yeah.
So, like, that's like 4 or 5 losses and you're right back in it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look how easy it is to go on like 15 games without a win.
Yeah. But was that you guys?
Yeah.
Oh,
that is insane.
Honestly, it was weird.
And you didn't drop into the relegation zone once in that whole period.
I would have worried for your manager if you dropped into that zone. That's why I kept looking, because I was like, if you drop below that line, I'm worried. But when you got through Christmas and you'd still kept hold of him, I was like, well, that was your opportunity, really.
Yeah.
I genuinely, I say this all the time, and I get a stick for it, but it is what
you love
it is. I genuinely love him, but not just on like a, I'm loving him, I'm saying it. Genuinely, as he's the best manager out of the last three we've had, like tactically. He's just playing in a much harder division with much less academy resources. The last two managers have had brilliant academy products coming through, whereas Gary's probably only got Sonny as a maximum. He's got Alex, who's been there for a while, and Czech as well. But in previous years, we've had Josh Key, Archie Collins, Joel Randall, Ollie Watkins, Matt Grimes, Ethan Ampadu. Like, we had Jay Stansel back on loan. That was last season, to be fair. So I think with what he's got and what he's had to rebuild over the summer, I don't think he's actually doing a horrible job. I think he made a rod for his own back with how well we started the season, because everyone thought, oh, we're going to be brilliant. And then when reality hit and everyone caught up to us and people caught on to how
we were
playing.
You thought that as well, didn't you?
I said it from the start. Once people catch on to how we're playing, and it's not that hard to defend against. If you just
When we beat Luton, I've got video to prove it.
I thought what?
Well, you got carried away with the...
But that's your fault. You've made me get carried away.
Oh, yeah. That feels like years ago.
Remember when we drew Middlesbrough in the Carabao Cup on that live stream?
Lovely evening.
Probably not had a high like that.
No.
Ever.
Stick with me, buddy. Plenty to come.
But now it's all gone a bit like, I hate football.
The highs are high.
The lows are shit.
That's all I think about. When I think about this pod, is the optimism at the start of this season was through the roof. Like, through the roof. And then when you went on that run, I just like, I can't take it. Just thinking about how optimistic David was.
I still am.
No, yeah. You're not.
Stop. Yeah, I am. I'm realistic. I'm like, come on. I can totally see us being mid-table. But I think we're good enough to have a cheeky run.
Yeah, little cheeky one.
And where does that end you up?
Playoffs. Sneaking
That's
in.
That's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. There we go.
Didn't have to work hard at all for that.
I don't even want to partake in this anymore. Just mid-table. Keep me in. I'd finish one place above the relegation zone. I'll be happy.
I think I've always said our goal will be 17th, I think. I reckon you could end up 14th.
That's what John said, I think, with... You said 17th, didn't you, with Exeter?
But us?
Yeah.
No, I think I said like 13th. I think I said mid-table, yeah.
I think 13th, 14th, I reckon. Put together a run now, bit of stability. Get a couple of players in.
I got laughed at on BBC Radio Devon. Everyone said, I said, we're just as likely to win the next five as lose the next five. And what did we do? Won the next three, lost one, then won again. So it wasn't far off, was I?
Who laughed?
Who's laughing now?
I don't think laughed, but James Vickery sort of went, really? I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
Did he laugh at you?
I don't think he laughed. He just was shocked when I said it. But
he better not have.
Well, he's coming on the pod in a few weeks, so we could talk to him then.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm looking at the Championship. There are some big old beasts in there, aren't there?
It's beautiful. It's lovely.
But this is what I was saying about like League One years ago, and Henry will vouch for me here. We had Leeds, Sheffield Wednesday, Sheffield United, Norwich... Loads of big dogs in League One that year. It was crazy.
Were you trying to think when City were down there? That was hilarious.
Yeah, I don't think that was my lifetime.
That was so funny.
When they were playing at Main Road was a lovely little stadium. They should have kept that. Every time I see photos of it, I'm just like, that is cool. That's a proper football stadium.
The Championship is mad though. Like, you look at the fixtures, could you go, oh, maybe we can string together a bit of a run, and you look at the fixtures and you just go, oh my fucking hell. Like, but you've got to remember, a lot of these teams aren't what you imagine in your head. Like, we're matching a lot of them. And what's amazing with Plymouth is, like, I think it's with the loan players, but the strength in depth is like, we are changing games with our substitutes. I cannot remember a time when that was a thing, where like we're bringing on players of quality that we are changing a game with, and like winning the games in the last 20 minutes or last 30 minutes. It's like, we've not had that for years. Like, we probably have for quite a while now, but like, not the Plymouth I know. Like,
I think if I'm correct, Henry, you've scored, like, I think it's the second most goals in, like, late on
Yeah.
Like, as in, like, I mean, I saw 2 weeks in a row you had 90 plus six winners.
Yeah.
And it was madness. It was.
I'll tell you what's happening a lot, though. And I know these things are supposed to even out, but we are getting some really awful decisions against us that are costing us games. Like, was it Norwich? Who were we playing on TV the other day? I think it was. Can't remember, but like the ball was out when they scored.
Is it Southampton?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, I might have been. We were getting absolutely trounced. It was Southampton because Rishi Sunak was there. Like, we were getting trounced, but we were keeping the ball out, and then we scored. And it was
That was brilliant. Yeah, it was given offside,
and then 30 seconds later they scored at the other end, and it was just like it changed the game. And then there was another one, which I think was Norwich, where I think it was before Christmas, where like the clip ball was clearly out when they crossed it in.
Was it Coventry? It might have been Coventry.
Was it Coventry?
It was somewhere, because my lecturer is like a massive
fan. It was Coventry.
And he went and he put it on the board before before our lecture. And I was like, oh, that's such a shame. What a terrible decision.
We keep getting these things where it's like, I know it happens to all of us, but it just feels like it's a season where we're getting more of the bad decisions than the good ones. And
do you know what it is, Henry? And I'll tell you, I'll let you know a little secret here. All the officials in the Football League are shit.
Yeah.
I have not come across a good one in my entire time watching football.
What about the guy you sort of sat next to on Saturday?
He's a referee's assessor. He's not a referee.
But surely the blame's with him.
I'm not pointing at anyone. I just think they're all shit.
Let's point at him, John.
No. He was actually lovely. Like, but genuinely
surely
really
he's the one who needs to clamp down on their bad decisions.
Yeah, but this is what I mean. This is right. So I obviously don't know anything about refereeing. I'm obviously always talking from a biased perspective, but I try not to be. I try and be like, right, that was probably a foul, that probably wasn't. And on their iPad, they sort of have to agree or disagree with every decision. They have to go like tick, and then they have to do a little.
Is that what they do?
Into it, and they go, referee, right there, minute 26, 44, correct decision, offside, da da da, and they'll bang.
He's not talking to him, is he?
No, he's talking into a note. So he's talking into just like a little spreadsheet, which marks his notes, so they speak. They can either speak or type it up. But
were you watching him do that during the game?
So he was right next to me saying it, and I'm talking to my brother, like who's to my right, going, "That's a shit decision." And the referee's assessor's going, "Great decision by the ref. He's got that spot on." Da, da, da. And I'm thinking, "Fucking hell!"
Is there one of those at every game?
Yeah, every football league match, the referee will have an assessor. Yeah, and he'll always be in the boardroom.
Well, that's wow. That's good. Not this making it any better, but I'm
no,
glad.
It's not working, so it's not good.
Yeah, no, but at least it's
the lower you go down, the worse the officiating.
But it was so
interesting
because during the game, I was like, I think they had a player off injured, like had received treatment, and I was like, why is the referee not waving him on? Like, just said it as a generic comment. Like, I wasn't trying to ask him anything. He went, he has to wait 30 seconds off the side of the pitch now to prevent. And he was just talking me through all the decisions the ref was making, and I was like, That was unreal. It's an unreal insight. And I was saying, I did ask him, like, can the fourth official make a decision? He said, yeah, he's one of the officials. If he sees something in a better position than the ref, he can tell him, you're wrong. You should.
What, an overall the ref?
Yeah, well, not overall it, but he can say, I think you should. He can give decisions. Yeah. He has an input, which a lot of people think he's just there to mitigate the bench, but he's not.
Mm.
It's really interesting. But for all their efforts, they're all shit. So, cheers.
My wife would hate this bit of the pod.
The boring
boy.
Don't know, she just wouldn't like all the referee chat.
It's quite. She doesn't like referee chat.
No.
Well, I don't like referees, so.
I think we should get. Oh, it'd be great to get one on, wouldn't it?
They wouldn't do it. They would not do it.
Why do you.
We can't get a referee on it.
No, they would 100% would not do it. Maybe an ex ref.
Why do you want to do
it? But you wouldn't. Imagine if you got a ref on, like, that's still refereeing.
Kalina.
Yeah. Do you remember Kalina, John?
Is he the boulder?
He's doing the podcast rounds these days.
Is he? He's on off menu.
Yeah, what's your start?
He's a scary one, isn't he? The one who has the wide eyes.
Best ref that's ever officiated, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not hard. That's like best turd.
He was brilliant.
Best turd.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same trophy, isn't it? No one's proud to be the best. No one's proud to have the best turd, are they? Well done, you're the best ref. That's the best of.
I hate that word as well.
Shit profession.
Is your best turd a nine day bake?
Fucking hate bake. I hate all of it.
A 9 day.
I hate
you.
Yeah, I
don't think you'd be so touchy about this.
Yeah, I am. I am.
You
touchy.
Love talking about, you know, Willy stuff.
Yeah, don't mind Willy. Talking about Willy's.
Don't mind Willy's.
Yeah. What's the bum stuff about? There's something. Have you had a bad bum experience when you... that you need to...
Yeah, I have actually.
Oh, what was it?
Oh, go listen on Chatterbix. It's about an hour long, that anecdote.
An hour? I'm not listening for an hour.
It's not that. It's not that. It's just I don't like. I'm amazed that you enjoy it.
I don't. I wouldn't say I enjoy a bum, but I wouldn't. I wouldn't be like, oh, I'd rather get rid of it. Yeah. I also would say. But bowel movements are nothing to do with the bum, really. They're more to do with intestines. The bum is just the...
I wouldn't say
the passage.
The destination.
The exit.
What would Naomi think of this bit of the pod?
Probably lean in a bit.
Really? Over the ref chat?
Yeah. What are the referee's toilets like?
Yeah. The referee's toilets are just... It's just a mini changing room at the ground. But there's like quite a few strict rules, I think. So, for example, last year or the year before, Swindon player Harry McCurdy got sent off, and he stormed in, and he was given his like protein shake that all the players have to drink after a game for recover. As he came off the pitch, being sent off, have to go straight down the tunnel. Obviously, you're not allowed to be in pitch view when you've been sent off, and he just went into the referee's room, smashed his protein shake onto the floor, and it went everywhere, and the club were fined. Quite significantly. It's meant to be like an area where only referees are allowed to go and then the captains before the game.
So this didn't happen at Exeter, did it?
No, this happened at Swindon. But there's like very strict rules on like players entering and stuff like that. But he got all of their like clothes he meant to get changed into, like covered in protein shake and stuff. Yeah.
Do you think... Do the referees do poos in our changing?
100%. The players will and the referees will.
Just like stand-up, you go straight before... Clean evacuation before entering the pitch.
Clean evacuation.
God, who's the cleaner at the club?
I don't think we have just one person cleaning the whole ground. I think probably got
who
a
are
team.
The cleaners?
I don't know. No, we've probably got a team of cleaners.
Is it still the case that, like, I know in the 80s and things like that, like the away dressing room was always like significantly worse than the home one. Like it just pure dog shit some grounds.
So our away dressing room has a pillar smack bang in the middle so that when the manager wants to speak to people, he's got to go around it.
Beautiful.
Very snug.
Purposely
snug.
Placed, I believe.
I'd love to see the changing rooms.
I've seen them.
Oh, at Exeter.
Yeah.
Did you see the see the pillar in the away one, Alfie?
Yeah, dreadful.
Yeah, just right in the middle, dreadful. Right in front of the board, so that if you're trying to give someone instructions, you've got to, like...
Yeah, I felt cramped in there as well, with about five people in there. I can imagine it gets really cramped.
Yeah, I think it was made... I mean, it's just like loads of little tactics, aren't they, that football clubs use to try and make it just as uncomfortable as possible.
Are there any others?
I don't know, not off the top of my head.
Isn't it... some clubs paint the walls... a weird colour or something.
Yeah, there's loads of like mind, like psychology tricks that they try and do, but I don't know how many of them were. I know, like, I don't know who it was. I think, was it Liverpool, Anfield? They used to have like really hollow walls so you could hear what the manager was saying through the change room and stuff like that. Wow. So there's all sorts, but ours are quite far apart.
So if I go into the tunnel at Exeter, where am I going then?
So if you go down, walk down the tunnel, you can go left. There's one left to the referee's changing room. That's private. No one can go
in. And the linesmen, are they all in there?
Yeah, they're all in there. Three of them, four of them, however many there is. Maybe even the referee's assessor might go down there, have a little...
What about if one's a lady?
I think there's separate changing rooms for female and male referees, yeah. And then instead of going left, you go right if you're a player. And the first door will be the Exeter City changing room. And then you walk down the corridor a little bit. And the next right will be the away team's dressing room.
And where does the corridor lead to after
that? The corridor leads out to the back of the car park, so you don't have to be bothered.
Well, it just leads to a door that goes out into the car park.
Yeah, a couple of steps and then out to a door that goes to the car park so they can quickly go home.
Interesting. And that is the geography of Exeter cities.
No one cares, do they? Everyone's clicked off now.
I zoned out.
Did you?
If you've been there, business.
I was liking it though. I was sort of like, you know, a podcast on to go to sleep.
That's not possible. You can't zone out and like it.
Of course you can.
Yeah, you can.
No, I disagree.
Whale song.
It was subconscious. Yeah.
Whale song.
Yeah, whale song. That's what you were there.
Whale song.
Lovely whale song.
Thought-based whale song.
Yeah.
have you had the pleasure of going around Home Park, Henry, and seeing all the bits and bobs?
No, I haven't. I've done Wembley because
must be amazing.
When we were at the Bolton final, I told you this last time, we went down in the service lift with Ivan Campo and Vernon Kay. And then we were taken out. So we were stood around where the dressing rooms are, either
Hang
side.
Hang on a minute. Ivan Campo and Vernon Kay.
Sorry. Yes. That's crazy. Let me ask a question.
He's an Ipswich player.
Who's Ivan Campo?
Oh, no.
You asked this last time. Yeah.
Oh, did I?
And
oh,
someone tweeted because I said, oh, he played for Bolton. And then someone tweeted the pod going, yeah, and Real Madrid. It's like, oh,
yeah.
And Ipswich Town.
But Ivan Campo. And then we were stood by the dressing rooms and all the players were coming out because Josh was taking the ball out and Vernon was taking the trophy. And they all know Josh. So they were all just stopping and chatting to Josh. I was a bit like, don't distract them. And obviously, we were 2-0 down in like 3 minutes. So, yeah. And then, we were just out on the touchline then. We're like seeing loads of old Argyle legends because they were all doing the interviews and stuff down there. Great fun. Yeah.
Well, I bet that was cool.
Yeah, really good.
Ivan Campo and
Vernon Kay.
How tall is he?
For Bolton. he's as tall as you imagine. He's very tall.
Vernon Kay played for Bolton.
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you've got a man of many talents.
Big centre forward. Yeah. Hold the ball.
Very tall, very nice man.
Good teeth?
Great teeth. Very
great presenter. I watched him on Family Fortunes recently. Kept a close eye on him for an hour. Yeah.
He's an all-round entertainer.
What does that even mean?
Yeah. What?
Kept a close eye on him for an hour. What is it?
I sort of watched him. I didn't really watch the programme, I watched him.
Like when you get a player cam?
Yeah, just where is he going? What's he saying?
Isn't he married to the lady who presents? Yeah, she presents Strictly, yeah.
The tallest power couple in entertainment, I imagine.
Yeah, they're going to have some tall babies. Damn.
Damn.
Some tall babies.
No, I mean, damn is like, I wish I was taller, basically.
You're a lovely height.
You're tall.
What are you clocking, John?
I think 5'10" max.
That's
you're taller than me.
It's not good enough for people nowadays.
I'm 5'11".
You need to be 6 foot plus.
You are 6 foot.
5'11", David.
I fucking am.
Yeah.
Oh no,
you ain't
not.
Even 5'11" with a top hat on, son.
I'm 5'11".
I'm 5'11", Dave, and I'm taller than you. Well, maybe
you've really thrown me.
Maybe you just give off short energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be that. Oh, you're not I'm taller than you and I'm not 5'11".
I'm 5'11 and a quarter.
Nah, you've been lied to by... what have you got on?
By
stilts?
What, a measuring stick?
No.
Measuring stick.
No, if it's your wife measuring you, then maybe she's a little bit like, 5'11 and a quarter.
Now she's interested. Now she's listening.
Yeah, get gone. Go back and play your games.
Fuck me.
Have a little measure. I want to know for sure.
God, I want to measure now.
Oh, go on, measure.
I'm going to measure.
Yeah, do it.
Oh, I can't be fucked. I would say you're 6 foot, John.
I'm not. I'm telling you now for a fact, medically not 6 foot, 5'10".
I like 5'10".
Yeah, no, see, I'd
kill to be 5'10", John.
I like it, right? And I think I've still got a bit of growing to do. I think I'm just coming out of the final stages of growth, but bear with me here. For most women, 5'10" don't cut it anymore.
What?
You've got to be 6 foot plus. Got to be 6 foot plus.
We don't need most women, John. We just need that special someone.
Yeah, that special someone.
Yeah.
Exactly, John.
They don't exist. Not for me. There is nobody.
No, I'm not having that.
Exeter City first.
I saw when you came to Bury St Edmunds, I saw how the girls were looking at you.
Oh, a bit of beer.
Yeah.
Were they?
They were drinking vodka lemonade, but they wanted beer.
They're drinking beer with their eyes, am I right?
Yes, they were.
Ah, stop it. No.
They wanted to wake up with a beer.
In their hand.
Oh,
oh, come on. Why?
What point of beer in the hand?
Yeah, shut up.
Nice frothy head. You're going to have to snip that out.
Oh. Yeah. Jesus. What? How does it always end with having to snip something out?
I'm not snipping that out. That's a hell of a
I think John's a catch.
So do
yeah,
I.
Yeah, no, I
really, yeah.
I am kind of am.
Bright.
Yeah. No, that's the one thing I'm not. Not very bright.
You are bright. I don't know why you think you're not bright. You're very bright.
Going
no,
places.
No, I think I can. Yeah, maybe that one, but not bright.
Maybe going places.
Maybe.
Modest.
Modest little sod.
Thick as shit, but I know where I'm going.
No, that was obviously a joke. I'm just saying. If you look at my family, like my close four, as in my dad, my mum, and my brother, you'd think I'm adopted. I've got no brains. They're all so intelligent, and I'm not.
I think it's how you look at intelligence, John.
Yeah, I guess they're academically intelligent. Maybe common sense, not so much. But yeah.
And you've got that in abundance.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
No, more than them. But that's again, sort of back to the best turd thing. You know, having better common sense than those three is not the biggest achievement. Anyway, less of my family chat.
Thank you so much, Henry, for coming on.
It's been a pleasure. When am I back? I'm a staple.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so lovely having a little connection with Plymouth, and the idea. Honestly, the idea of you coming down, meeting us again.
Oh, no, thank you.
It's
absolute luxury being in the championship. You can't believe who you're playing.
When you're on the radio with James Vickery, I'm like, yeah, let's get past Plymouth.
That you're in the championship, Henry, I have to wait for the people at Plymouth to stop talking before I can talk. There's now like a hierarchy of like, Championship first, League One, shit after that.
Do you know what James said on Saturday?
Right, quite right.
He said, we're going live to Home Park in a minute, da, 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 but we're going to go to St James Park, and I really apologise if we're in the middle of a conversation with Gary Caldwell, because we're going to have to cut over to home. It's like, fucking hell.
The way it should be.
Wow.
No, if you're listening, when James comes on, we're going to have a word with him. He's now head honcho of sport at BBC Radio Devon, so we got to have a little bit of sway now.
I tell
you, bucks thrown his way, bribe him.
You two won't know this feeling. Alfie will, but like you feel like a real team in the championship. You're playing proper football teams, and you're going, yeah, I've heard of you. It's when I was at Leeds, I was like 15 meters away from Daniel Farquhar. Is that how you say his name? Farquhar. Like a proper match of the day manager that you see on Match of the Day.
Yeah.
I was like, that's that guy.
I'll tell you now for free.
The players as well.
No, you can shove your Premier League Match of the Day managers right where the sun don't shine, okay? I hate it.
Bum.
I hate it. I would, you know what? I don't even want to be in the championship.
No.
If this is what it's like, it's just elitist people saying, oh, this is proper.
It's not elitist.
No.
It's people that are really happy to be there.
I love all the little teams in League One. Cambridge and Burton and all these places. I love...